Hey, Perf Bites listeners, before you get started with today's episode, please pay attention to this message from our sponsors.
Whether you want to load test your APIs or browser-based applications, you need to be able to easily scale up volume and identify problem areas. SmartBear has you covered. LoadUI is the rock star of API load testing. Using an intuitive, versatile design, LoadUI gives you the power to scale up and out, letting you dial up high volume and real-world load from any number of local and remote computers, all within a single test environment. With LoadUI, it's easy to create and configure tests, incorporating all of your OS, application, database statistics agentlessly. It's fully interactive too, so you can easily modify your tests and fix errors on the fly. Load Complete is an astonishingly easy-to-use load testing tool for HTML, AJAX, and rich internet applications. Create and run automated tests in minutes using browser to naturally record your interactions with the website or app, scale up the number of virtual users, pull in data from Excel and other data sources, monitor server resources during test execution, and even distribute your tests geographically. Reports and charts make it a breeze to explore aspects of how your site or app performs under pressure, and ultimately to pinpoint performance issues proactively. LoadUI and Load Complete by SmartBear ensure outstanding performance across your entire web stack.
It's time for Perf Bites.
What the f*** is Perf Bites?
The fourth square meal of the day.
So what are Perf Bites?
Waffles.
Microwave ready.
It's time for Perf Bites with your hosts Mark Tomlinson and James Pulley.
Perf Bites.
Whatever.
Hey, it's time for Perf Bites once again. And James, it's after the cyberness. We've made it into December. And I don't know about you, but I'm so relieved. I'm still alive. All my colleagues are alive. My customers are doing well. How about yourself? Did you fare well on after cyberness, cyber week?
I'm alive. I'm well. None of my customers showed up in the news.
That's good.
That's always good, I think.
Yeah.
And, it is just that special time of year.
It is that special time of year. Now, e-commerce sites, a lot of people think once you make it through Black Friday and Cyber Monday that everything's over. You can just rest. We can relax. We can kick back, have some eggnog, the strong stuff, the real eggnog. Put your slippers on, lay around.
By the way, if you need a good eggnog recipe, Alton Brown.
Alton Brown. Hey, let's go put a link on the Perf Bites website for Alton Brown's eggnog. If you ever talk to your folks in production management, operations guys who are still monitoring the site, you'll notice that they're still at kind of peak volumes between Black Friday, Thanksgiving or so, all the way through last minute Christmas shopping, because it's still, they've got another couple weeks where you can get stuff shipped overnight. So we would be looking at not only the e-tailers, but also your FedExes, your UPS. I mean, who knows? Those guys, the shipping people internationally, they're getting hammered with traffic. And there's a UPS facility nearby where I work, and usually it's just brown trucks, but you'll notice like half of them are brown trucks and U-Hauls because they have twice the volume. Now, it may not be a computer outage, but you can tell that they're throwing hardware at the problem. It just happens to be a U-Haul.
Well, Mark, I think it's good to point out that this volume is being spread out. And you and I have had discussions over the years. What is going to happen if IT just can't take the load, if they can't come up with innovative solutions to keep scaling on Black Friday and Cyber Monday? Well, I think we're seeing that come to fruition this year. If you noticed, people like Target, Walmart, they began having sales a week in advance.
Or a couple of weeks in advance.
And these sales are continuing to trickle through. So instead of getting this huge spike of everything on that day, you have all these little spikes coming through the entire period. And then after Christmas, you know what's going to happen? Gift cards.
There's going to be the post. A lot of people will wait. And do the return. There should be like immediate return things. I know a couple of retailers will take you like stuff shows up in the return line, and like 5 seconds later, there's the repurchase line. They should just have a trade 'em line where people stand around and say, "Yeah, I got this thing. Anybody want it? Anyone want to trade for the other thing?" I mean, that would.
Oh, you've got a TV. I've only got a Teddy Ruxpin. Could we do a Teddy Ruxpin and? And two giant sized packages of toilet paper for your TV. You know, let's make a deal here.
Teddy Ruxpin. You completely dated yourself. When was Teddy Ruxpin? Was like from the '80s.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Did you have one?
No, I was a little old for Teddy Ruxpin.
You're a little old.
Plus that whole comedy routine of Robin Williams when he talked about what Teddy Ruxpin should really be saying.
Yes.
That really freaked me out. So,
which could have been a wonderful, if we had cyber attacks and hacking back in the day to like hack in and change the audio of the Teddy Ruxpin before it shipped. That would be brilliant. Like drunk Teddy Ruxpin, you know,
actually I think it was a merger of Chucky and Teddy Ruxpin that Robin Williams was doing.
Oh, that's just scary. Okay, so let's have a chat then in this episode just about, you know, what has changed with Black Friday and Cyber Monday, and you know, all the is there any update really from what we've learned? Here we are, you know, about a week and a half or more outside of Black Friday. I have a few things to share. So, but first, before we dive into what's changed, we still did have a few offenses, you know, sort of the news of the damned worthy offenses there on Black Friday, James. So, what did you pick up on?
There were really only three that percolated to the top of the stack.
Yeah,
there was Best Buy.
Yep.
Which, I mean, Best Buy got enormous press for its outages.
Yeah.
I mean, It went on and on in my email inbox.
Yeah.
On that. And
for us in social media, there were a lot of the Perf Bytes followers. Thank you guys for sending us, you know, anytime you see something, Tim Western, John Curtis, I think we got some stuff from Mahesh or from the Trust IV guys.
Yep.
As well, sent some stuff over to us. So we totally appreciate that. Even things that we never pick up in the Google feed for outages. But yeah, Best Buy was, and it was first thing. I want to say, was it Thanksgiving or it was on Friday?
It was on Friday and it
morning.
Went down and came back several times.
Yeah.
And I think that's what drove the news stories, down and back, down and back, down and back.
Right.
And I can't imagine all those people who are sitting there ready to buy and then the site goes out. What are they going to do? They're going to hop over to Amazon. They're going to hop over to Walmart.
Yeah.
And if Walmart or Amazon or someplace else is able to capture that sale, that's it. That's revenue lost to Best Buy there.
It happens that fast. And I think there's still, I think to this point, there's still people in sort of marketing and the online e-commerce promotions at companies that don't quite understand how fast the common user, not even a savvy IT user like people who listen to the show, your aunt or uncle or the strange person who does nothing with computers. It takes, they know how a URL works. Bang, bang. They go right over to walmart.com, done. And then auto logs them in. They know what they're looking for and they nail it. So it can happen in less than 30 seconds. They make the transaction happen with another retailer. And if they're using a meta shopping site like Google Shopping, they can choose right there. It's even faster.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So there were a couple of other ones, some that you wouldn't quite think about.
Yeah.
So we had this Black Friday insanity has crossed the pond and is infecting UK shopper behavior. So we had retailer Tesco, their website went down on Black Friday as well.
And people might not, if you don't know Tesco is like one of the largest. I wouldn't say they're like a Walgreens or a CVS. They're more like a Walmart in the UK.
So, yeah, I get that impression. I think this modification of user behavior driven by, you know, U.S. Commerce behavior,
right,
jumping the pond and going to other countries, I think what we're going to see is the challenges that we had in the U.S. 10 years ago as we were going through this huge expansion, online purchasing and things of that nature. It's going to start cascading to other nations.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially, so hopefully they can learn from our mistakes.
Well, if people would share what they learned from an outage, like if Target guys started sharing some things about the different, well, security hacking, right? So a lot of people are sharing at least some of the things they can share about what they learned. But I haven't seen anything on the Best Buy site in terms of what they learned and what their resolutions were.
I tend to think that the board is probably beating on other on each other as to how to solve this problem.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So Tesco is, again, they went down, but again, they're a brick and mortar like Best Buy, where you have a very strong brick and mortar retail outlet capability, yet the website is still taking a hit. So financially, the companies may not actually get down that much in terms of recognizing the hit to the bottom line, but at least their IT website is gone down.
And then there was a back-end system that you wouldn't normally think about. As it turns out, Black Friday is the largest shopping day of the year for firearms purchases.
Okay.
So for people who want to buy a new rifle or pistol or howitzer.
And those can be big ticket gift items.
They're
not cheap, right?
Oh, yeah. You get a nice rifle. It might cost you $10,000 for a really nice rifle.
Yeah.
But for each one of those, there's the National Instant Criminal Background Check System that every purchase at a gun shop has to go through. And that is a common system used by all gun shops in the United States to do that instant background check.
The central repository over a web service kind of thing. Yeah.
and you see what happens. You know, it's interesting in that respect.
Hosting for PerfBytes.com has been provided by NUCO, New Centers of Excellence in Performance Engineering, The Script Farm, LoadRunner by the Hour, Cloud Architect, Videratech, and LightSquare. For more information, please visit the website at www.nucoe.com or call 888-212-1104.
So, Mark, I know you've got a couple that you observed as well, and I think one of them may be related in the hunting and fishing side to what I just covered on the National Instant Criminal Background Check.
You would think as much. The site that caught my attention right off the bat was Cabela's. When you just mentioned the firearms registration or the firearm owners registration site as a back-end service, and as we just chatted, the idea that the Cabela's also, their website had some instability. This is a reporter from the ARS Technica guys who were tracking what was happening on Cabela's website on Thanksgiving night, which is interesting enough. We'll talk a bit about the expansion of the time frame or schedule for load. It's not just Black Friday. It's now getting into Thursday night as well. But so they had Cabela's had some stuff happening on Thursday night, and then they switched gears and did something. But by Friday morning, they were completely AWOL. Like the website was completely gone, and they had one of those, inconspicuous, or I guess it would be conspicuous. What's the proper term? Conspicuous, right?
Yes.
Conspicuous. Customers encouraged to place their orders over the phone. So they went to the phone call thing and said, they also said it was routine system maintenance on Black Friday morning. And quote unquote, rest assured, our team at Cabela's is working diligently to make sure the site is available soon. I can't imagine in a million years that an ops manager is going to have routine maintenance on Black Friday.
Not if they want to keep their job.
Yeah. So that's lying or being disingenuous,
Or that's probably the default page.
It might be a default page. And that's there's nothing wrong with that. But, some people, just the basic saying the site is unavailable or very sorry is much more simple than just making it look like, oh, we intended to take the site down, because, guys, everyone knows you're not going to take the site down on Black Friday. So Cabela's, but again, as we pointed out, Cabela's is, they don't actually sell firearms and do the registration, lookup, and all that stuff online, because that's against the law. So it's probably not related to the back-end system that you just mentioned, James.
Okay. So you know, probably similar clientele in many respects.
Could be.
But you know, they were trying to order their ammunition online on Thanksgiving night and then go buy the rifle the next day.
Or something like that. Yeah. I don't know. Now, so there's a couple others that came out, and one right off the top strikes me in, as we were just talking about Nike, Foot Locker went down as well. And they had different things. I think they actually do a nice job, as we've talked about, people leveraging properly the CDN and the front end of the site being cached properly in a distribution network like Akamai, and then limiting the extent with which you can go through a cart checkout process. The majority of that you try to keep static, where the essential fields are just exchanged through step one, step two, step three. But, James, you know, Foot Locker probably has that same old problem that we always talk about.
Well, actually, I think Foot Locker probably has a bot issue, because this is very common with retailers this time of year, particularly for really high demand, low volume items.
Yeah.
You know, there always seems to be some sort of shoe from different vendors every year that's the shoe that all the kids want. I know I've got a set of neon yellow Hyper Dunks that when I wear them, all the, you know, neighborhood kids are like, "Ooh, where'd you get those?" You know, that type of thing. If you can imagine me in a pair of neon yellow Hyper Dunks.
I can.
what I've noticed for a lot of retailers of that nature is there tends to be an awful lot of bot activity just going against the site on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And if you compound that with the traffic load associated with holiday, there's usually extra bot traffic going after specific items.
Sure.
So you have this, all these automated agents loaded up on the system, plus the individuals that are coming in as actual users. And even when you do the best of all solutions for CDN and things of that nature, it can have a very crippling effect because of just the speed at which all those automated agents run.
Yeah. So it's because of activity like that ramps up around the holidays, in addition to general user load being higher than normal, both in Cabela's case and I think also in Foot Locker. The thing that everyone has found out is there's a lot of third-party content on the site. So one of the things we advised in previous episodes is that maybe during these peak events, you decide sort of minimizing, maybe not every department and every property on your website has their own tracking beacon or something. You start minimizing those third, maybe cut 50% just for a few days or maybe even a week. To get through the holidays, you decide, all right, you know, we may have 40 different marketing beacons. Let's just choose one to get through the holidays because it's all bloated weight on the page. Now, yep. Foot Locker, again, they both do a lot of CDN work. Foot Locker has a lot of the front end stuff in Akamai. So we're just guessing that these guys, there was a tweet out from Foot Locker that said, go ahead and refresh the page and it will, you know, fix things. So clearly they were doing development and repair at responsive. So hopefully they had a good SWAT team who was pushing stuff out into the VPN and asking customers to refresh the site in real time. But that's, you know, you took a black eye and you're getting back up, you know, in the game. So that was good for those guys as well. The last one I came across was also my old friends at HP. HP's Hewlett Packard's online shopping site took a dive. And, you know, it always bugged me when I worked there that we had, you know, world-class load testing tools, solutions. We had them in the cloud. We had SaaS back then. We had all these capabilities. And even within their own company, and, you know, internally, got to tell you, if you work at HP, you can get your internal tools for free. The licensing was free. So the HP online shopping guys never turned around and called me up and said, hey, can we use LoadRunner to blow up our own site? And here they are again on a Black Friday, taking a nosedive.
Maybe they were using the HP EDS division to do their performance testing.
Or they were using someone else's tool, or more often than not, as we know, James, they just didn't do anything. And that's sadly the majority. In fact, knowing my own history and stuff. So a shout out to HP, to Shane and John and Sylvia. Call up the online shopping people and just offer them Stormrunner Load for free for a while. You know, give them the community. Just remind them that, hey, you don't have to take an outage. You can use our tool. Use your own tool. So that was kind of sad.
So Mark, overall, there was kind of a cumulative effect across the industry.
Yeah.
Where according to VentureBeat and an article they cited, is that on Black Friday, desktop pages were about 20% slower than 2013.
Yeah.
Mobile pages, so getting back to that network issue on the mobile pages, were 57% slower.
57% slower. And here's where I would love to have a chat with someone like Curtis Cowboy Tester, Curtis Sternberg, or Philip Liu, or Jean Ann, about the size that the form factor for mobile. And there was a lot of news about the fact that more people were on mobile devices doing shopping online during these few days than ever before, which you would expect, right? People get more. They just abandon the desktop. I'm sitting there and I'm, you know.
And you know what? I think that probably impacted the desktop users as well, because if they're coming across cellular, the latch time on the resource is longer. And that slowed everyone down.
Yeah, but here's the thing that to key into. I actually saw my old boss, Jonathan Rendy, he's now with Keynote, actually. He was talking about sort of the performance impacts or the oversights when people go to a responsive web design. And Phil Liu and I did a webinar on this, talking about what are the performance impacts of that. And you have a lot more interactive content and a lot more logic firing on the client to figure out, you know, what sort of interactively to display to the user. And it's so ironic, and I think it's the proper use of the word ironic, that they call it responsive web design, when actually, if you don't examine the client-side performance for those designs of the page, it's actually unresponsive, especially if you have a larger form factor and people are surfing more on mini tablets, and iPhone 6s are larger, and they're on other tablets and a Galaxy device, and they're getting on mobile devices with larger form factors, which means all your algorithms that render pixel to pixel, corner to corner vector are going to take 2 times, 3 times, maybe 4 times longer to compute, and that just chews up the CPU, and that means, again, to the back end, longer latch time. So this, the usage is up. And I think the form factors are changed. And so there's some really, if you're doing responsive mobile design to run on a mobile device, you are sort of, you got a perfect trifecta of the good old latencies of mobile plus increased form factor plus additional active dynamic code firing on the client. Put those together and the back end is going to suffer on Black Friday. And that's what I think we're seeing with these guys.
And let's face it. Performance is hard. It really is.
Is it?
Well, it shouldn't be, but it is.
Aren't there any free learning resources out there where people can learn about performance and make it not so hard, James?
No.
No.
Speaking, there are zero.
There are zero. as we speak into the microphone and share our knowledge. James, what are we going to talk about when we come back from the Nuco break?
Well, I think we should talk about some of the things that are impacting this. You know, the shift in user population, the change in business processes, and we also need to take a look at, as an organization, what do you need to archive today for planning for next year?
Very good. All right, here.
You know them. You see them hit the end of an iteration and they just plain ran out of time for performance testing. You hear them convincing the VP of development to just fire all the testers. You see some other kids aren't testing at all. And you see the cool kids, well, you know, they're testing in prod. It can be tough under all that peer pressure just because you want to be cool too. But being cool isn't as important as it seems. Perf Bites encourages you to keep your own commitment to quality steadfast and not give in to those trendy, cool hipsters who don't know how to test and who, by the way, don't pay for what happens in prod. Stand your ground against emergency promotions and too fast releases directly to production without any testing whatsoever. Know that Perf Bites supports you because friends don't let friends deploy without testing.
So anyway, all that stuff you've said before, we should talk about that.
So, okay, so let's roll back what I said before the break. Let's go in reverse. Let's start with what you need to archive right now.
Yeah. Well, the massive learning I think that everyone is taking away that I hear, people who are non-performance people talking about what happened, the biggest thing that I took away, I don't want to miss, is that somehow Black Friday one day and Cyber Monday one day has turned into Cyber Week, Cyber 2 weeks, Cyber 3 weeks, Cyber Month, Black Friday, Cyber Month. And what
it's plaid.
Yeah, it's plaid. But you mentioned it at the top of the show. Like, are we really seeing that the marketing department has given up on a single spike event happening on a single day promotion, and they've just washed it out and said, we can't, is it anything really, is it just that they're desperate for business and so they expand the time frame? It's an entire week of Cyber Week versus one day?
Well, what drove it home for me was something that Target did. They had, I think it was a 40-inch television for $40 or something. Oh. It was some absurd amount.
Yes.
They only had 100 of them, but it wasn't on Friday and it wasn't on Thursday. It was early in the week. It was like Monday or Tuesday. And I'm like, yep, it's we finally crossed the chasm on this whole issue of they figured out that they can't put everything on that day because their resources, whoever they have, just can't keep up.
Right. And it may not be the IT resources. If you're selling was the TV thing at Target, was it like online only sale?
It was an online-only sale.
So, I mean, maybe this that the market, it's differentiation. Like, everybody knows Black Friday and Cyber Monday. So maybe just from the market analysis, they're like, all right, well, let's just do our own thing on Thursday. Let's do our own thing all week. You know, maybe they're just doing it to differentiate versus IT.
You should see what happened at the brick-and-mortar stores. You didn't have the people camped out all week.
Yeah.
They were getting a number when they got there. They were in line. They got a promise if they bought it online, they'd have it by Christmas. So it had an interesting effect on these lines that you normally see forming or last couple of years on Thanksgiving evening.
Right.
And those just weren't there this year.
So to your point about what should we be thinking about for next year, what we should be archiving in light of the fact that maybe the dynamics and the workloads are changing, maybe the spikes or peak times are changing and we need to adapt in 2015. What's your observation on what we need to archive for next year?
Right away, grab your entire web log. And if you have access to your Akamai log, your CDN log, or if you're using Omniture or something like that, log the entire month. For data analysis, keep it, keep going back to it. And what you want to do specifically is you want to understand what percentage were your mobile users,
right?
And how that has changed over time. If you see that your mobile population is going, perhaps you need to segregate your server population and dedicate several just to mobile so that they're not impacting your desktop users as an example.
Okay. Yeah.
You also want to look at it from a load perspective. Just how much load was coming in and what was the pattern? What was the high volume period? And I think we need to go back to our 50 by 50 rule as well.
Well, wait a minute. Now there was a 100 by 100 rule. Now it's 50 by 50.
Okay. Yeah. I cut it in half because people weren't listening at the 100 by 100. They thought it was too large.
Make it some strange number like 63.
Okay. 63 by 27. Yeah. If you have 27 items in a cart for more than 63 days,
it's some magic formula that only you and I know.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're in .NET. Then it's 42, of course, by 84.
So, I mean, what really drives this home is Greg Kudos, of course, you know, grandfather of Windows Update, or godfather, or whatever he is, of Windows Update.
Yeah.
He went to a vendor that he had not visited in like 8 years, and he opened up his browser and it checked his IP address and it loaded a shopping cart, and lo and behold, there was something in there from 8 years ago. And you know what? They don't even sell it anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the vendor doesn't make it. So,
man,
you need to be scrubbing your shopping carts, especially if they're persistent carts, for items that you no longer have in inventory, no longer being made. If they're in volume, if you're at Foot Locker and someone's trying to equip a sports team, you know what? Have somebody call that person and see if you can convert them to a sale.
Yeah.
If not, wipe out the cart. It'll get recreated the next time they come in, but you don't want that flotsam and jetsam circulating around the system, slowing everything down.
I wonder, here's a shout out to every product manager of a commerce platform. Build a cleanup routine into your product. If you're a customer that runs a commerce platform, you don't build it from scratch, go to your commerce platform vendor and say, here's my number one requirement. And, you know, there may be some of these platforms that are out there. So IBM has some, Oracle has some. There's a Microsoft, obviously, the Commerce Server, the old Commerce Server stuff, the new version.
Yep.
They probably have cleanup routines in there and no one turns them on.
Potentially so.
Yeah.
Potentially so.
Yeah.
Going along with this, you want to analyze who hits your site. And if you see automated agents coming from particular areas of the world,
how would somebody see that? From like, how would you recognize from the same IP address? Or
typically you get if you wanted to look at numbers of requests by IP address.
Yep.
That's usually a real good tell.
Yep.
Because you'll have some that go right to the top as tens of thousands of requests.
Yeah.
And you know what? Cut them off.
Yeah.
They're not going to buy from you anyway.
Yep.
All they're doing is stealing resources from your system that could be used for revenue customers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know that scares the hell out of people when I say that, when I say cut them off. Oh, God, they might be a customer.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? For what they're taking from the rest of your customers, they ought to be buying from you, but they're not.
Yeah. And as a performance person, when you need to make a business justification that you're going to block some people or recommend this, it wouldn't be a bad idea to be in touch with sort of the average cart cost or the revenue on a given cart transaction. So you could say, well, we're recommending here's 15 IP addresses that appear to be bots. We're going to, you know, take the risk that we block those ranges of IP addresses. Or maybe they even have usernames. Some of these guys will open up a legitimate user account. Just to know what the bottom line impact could be, it's probably less than 0.1% of all of your sales. In fact, the upside would be the load on the site allows you to up your throughput by 5-10%.
Oh, sure. Some of them will be taking 10 or 15% of your available resource pool in this case.
But you know why that is? It's because bots are automated, like automated scripts. They hit the site faster and harder, and in some cases, not cached.
Yep.
They could use JMeter. They could use a WebDriver. They could use these different tools to crawl the site, and they hammer it. They're 10 times more intensive than a real user on a real browser. So just one bot can take up the resources of 10 or 15 real end users. So that's what's unfair.
And if you look at the system behaviorally at what they're doing, they are not operating as a real user.
No, not at all.
In fact, you could probably profile their behavior, write a rule for your firewall that if a person engages in this behavioral characteristic, then block them. And maybe you don't have to permanently block them, but if you block them for 10 minutes or a random period of time, 10 to 30 minutes, and then let them in, and if they hit the profile again, you re-block them. You know, after a while, they'll figure out they're not going to get in.
Think about this for a second. There's a couple of hurdles that folks might run into. One is just getting access to those logs if you're in QA. And sometimes ops, there's security reasons they won't give you those logs. Yep. It's production data if there's PCI or PII data in there.
Well, according to PCI compliance, there should not be any PII data in there that's not encrypted. So if you've got credit card data and things of that nature in your web logs, you've got bigger issues.
Yeah, you got to log a bug. That's a serious bug. So, but that's one, you might have challenges in getting that data. The second thing is, if they hand it over to you in some raw format, just logs, you might need a solution to load those into a database, like Mongo, Hadoop, or something like that, or Splunk, if you don't have Splunk. If you have some of these other tools that will give log analysis, James, you mentioned, maybe I'll edit this out, is LightSquare suck up those logs and do things with them?
We do. We look at it purely from a performance perspective.
Oh, yeah.
You know, top 25. We do have some bot analysis that we'll do for customers. And we'll even do shopping cart analysis. If you're allocating resources too early, we can tell you when to allocate in order to get maximum resources available to new customers.
Yeah. But just be aware that this is, if you're in a performance team or a performance testing team, cooperating with the ops team for, you know, let's say the December, January timeframe, maybe you can take 10 days, 2 weeks or more to do that analytic analysis, parsing, grepping through the logs, looking for these kinds of things. And it takes time, but it's worth it. Now, the other thing I'll say is, let's say you're doing bot analysis and you come up with some IP ranges. By October of 2015, it's going to be a whole different set of IP ranges probably. But you're looking for similar kinds of patterns, and understanding the pattern is more important than what an individual IP address would be.
Exactly. Each of these bots that are created has a pattern fingerprint. Yeah. Of how they operate. And if you can identify that fingerprint, even if you don't do anything for the next year, and all of a sudden in the first week of cyber or first day of cyber week, you turn on all your filters, that'll disrupt them enough that hopefully you can make it through with far less bot traffic.
Exactly. And they'll be done. So in a nutshell, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, even our friend Ben Simo says, it's a lot like last year. It wasn't twice the volume. A handful of sites went down here and there. They seem to be doing the right things. Best Buy had a lot of static content. Foot Locker, a lot of stuff in Akamai and CDNs. They're following good practices, just maybe a few things here and there. I think a lot of sites suffered the mobile impact on a shared system where mobile and desktop users are combined. And that may be the good learning from 2015 next year you do some longer soak tests. You do a 72-hour run at twice the volume or three times the volume, some longer soak. Instead of a spike test on one day, you're doing a longer haul test to look for memory leaks, looking for rolling restarts, not disrupting the front end, failovers and things. That if it's a cyber week, then there's a different workload for 2015 that I think I'm going to be recommending to customers.
Absolutely. And I think it's got this peakiness, almost like this heartbeat going through the entire week where marketing managers have decided almost on every hour on the hour, there's something new for sale, which is going to drive traffic to the website.
Yeah. And don't overlook mobile. Like we say, again, I can't say it enough, that mobile traffic is different. Especially if you've got responsive web design on a mobile device in 2015, it's a different performance aspect. The end user experience definitely can be 20%, 30% slower given the same amount of traffic.
Yep.
Well, James, that brings us to the end of another seasonal Perf Bytes episode reviewing Black Friday and Cyber Monday, and it's pretty, things are changing a little bit, but it's still some people. We got a few damned people from the IT department, so shame on you guys. Thanks, everyone, of course, as usual, for listening to this episode of Perf Bytes. Thanks for taking the time. We appreciate it.
And Mom, thank you for tuning in.
Yes. Thank you to James' mom. I always thank the sexy Irish voice of Perf Bytes, who does the voiceovers and such and selects the winners of the shoes at STPCon. It's because she's generally awesome and supportive of what we do.
And Mark, I'd like to let you know that today's show is powered by the 7 things you can't say on television, chocolate banana brioche bread pudding, and Bill Spector's Wall of Sound.
So it's brought to you by 3, a perfect trifecta. I think that you can't get better than those.
Especially not when it involves Phil Spector.
Also, remember that all the content here at Perf Bytes is copyrighted and protected by the combined taste of eggnog and cigars, in that you would never, ever want to taste that. So you should never, ever want to purposely violate our copyright on all the good stuff that Perf Bytes shares with you. James, have you ever had eggnog and cigars?
My mouth has developed a coating just at the discussion of it.
Yeah, it does. It immediately tells you don't do that, and that's why it's protecting the copyright on our stuff. For more information about Perf Bytes, of course, you can visit the show's website at www.perfbytes.com. You can follow us on Twitter or the Facebook. And, of course, you can always subscribe to us and listen to the feed for the podcast on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, and Stitcher. Just open up your favorite listening app and search for Perf Bytes and click the subscribe button or favorites button or whatever kind of button you may have there.
And everybody, stay tuned, because 2015 is going to be a great year. We've got April 2015, where we're going to be at STPCon. Mark, I believe you're going to be in Ohio in January with Raj at?
The Northern Ohio Software Quality Assurance Association in January. I think it's on the 15th of January. That's with our good friend Raj Subra. Rob Subramanian, who's going to be hosting us there. So it'll be great to be in Ohio in January. And then, of course, the Perf Bytes show and staff are supporters of the Practical Performance Analyst, the Performance Engineering Book of Knowledge, the Computer Measurement Book, the Workshop on Performance and Reliability, the Performance Manifesto, and, of course, the Software Test Professionals Community of Software Testers. As James stated before, we're going to be in San Diego in April of 2015.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, I know. It should be awesome. So come hang out with us in San Diego for STPCon. It's the show's just getting together. It's a good conference. I'll be at Test Bash in March. Doing some training with Simon Knight and the guys there, but mostly hanging out, just having a great time in the UK, in Brighton. And we'll see you there. But we'll have everyone have a great holiday, have a safe and great holiday, and spend all of your spare time in front of the Yule log, having a sip of port or sherry during the cold. It's cold outside. Stay inside and listen to all sorts of old episodes of Perf Bytes, especially the You Might Be a Performance Tester episode number 27, which is absolutely hilarious.
I can't disagree.
No. That one and performance analysis. That's the number one episode.
Excellent.
Yeah, it is. And we'll see you guys in another episode soon, where James and I will be together in Philadelphia for the 2014 year-end wrap-up of Perf Bytes, which would be great. Thanks, everyone. Have a great week.
Have a great week.